news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Alright, everybody, welcome. Episode number 5 of That Awful Podcast. We are on More Like Radio, and this is actually the premiere episode for The Rant, rantemradio.com. Really kind of exciting. It's a new venture for me, so trying to pull in some new fans. Big shout out to AA for bringing me on. And again, big shout out to everybody at More Like Radio for putting up with me. Now, for those of you who are following the other shows that are on the More Like Radio network, you'll see that they started talking about this group called Christians Against Dinosaurs. These people have got to be some of the most entertaining people I have ever met in my life. Not because they're genuinely funny, just because they're so goddamn ridiculous. They claim that dinosaurs don't really exist, that there's the bones that have been found. Well, they claim these fossils aren't real because they've never found one. Okay. I've never found God, but people believe he exists. I've never seen him. You know, I mean, let's be honest, there's plenty of things in this world that we haven't seen, but people believe. You know, I've never been to Mars. Seen pictures of it. How do I know it's really Mars? How do I know some artist didn't just render it back in the 1960s? You know? I know we've landed on the moon. I believe we landed on the moon. But I've never physically seen it. You know? I mean, I've seen that big white light up in the sky. But, you know, people actually, I mean, it's, I do find it quite entertaining what people believe and you know, how diehard they are about it. Now, I'm looking at the page right now. They just reached 13,000 likes. And apparently, a lot of them are just trolls. Now, you have people like Dutch from Dutch and Royce. I'm sorry, not Dutch, Royce from Dutch and Royce and Hippo Juice. John and Sean and Mitch and things like that. They went into the group and they started trolling and they got banned. So what do? I just stay quiet and I just kind of monitor the situation. And, you know, anybody needs any kind of information, I'm kind of out there to provide and help with the entertainment. I'm looking at one of the first posts on the page, one of the most recent posts on the page about a couple hours ago. They abbreviate their group CAD, which I find entertaining because it can mean so much more. Let's see where they say. You think us CAD men are just going to stand by while you attempt to corrupt our Christian girls and women into dinophilia? True Cat promise keepers are strong men who refute the lies of the devil and rebuke the sick perversions of Hollywood and the worldly dinosaur obsessed. We will protect our Christian ladies from harassment and attempted seduction from perverts and miscreants. Beware. Well, that sounds like some strong talk there, fella. I don't know. I don't know what these people, why these people don't believe. I mean, everybody's got their belief system, and, you know, God love you for it. Me personally, I'm not a religious man. I have a lot of issues with religion. You know, again, every different religion worships this invisible man in the sky, allegedly, and you know, I'm more of a realist. I like to be able to see for myself, and no miracles ever happened to me. So right there, I have my my questions. You know, I've seen people die of disease and things like that, and you know, makes you question. Always makes you question whether there is a God or not. But there's some scientific fact behind dinosaurs. I mean, listen, to sit there and question, you know, did these people find dinosaur bones and put them together properly? I can get down with that. I can absolutely get down with that. You know, I could sit there and say, well, you know, they could have put a couple of things together incorrectly, and they just said, hey, look, it's a dinosaur. I want to call this, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex or Stegosaurus or whatever you want to call it, you know. And especially, you know, growing up, you learned about the big-time dinosaurs. And I'd say big-time just because it's the ones we really learned about. You know, there was a Stegosaurus, Triceratops, T-Rex, just to name the first three that pop off my head. You know, now there's Pteranodons and things like that, and I'm like, well, where the hell did this stuff come from? You know, Pteranodon is basically a pterodactyl. I learned about pterodactyls. I have no idea what the hell a pteranodon is, other than the fact that it looks like a pterodactyl. But whatever. And you know, here we go. I like this guy. I'm just going to call him DW. Those are his initials. Let's see. So, I'm new to CAD and very confused. I'm seeing a lot of strong opinions on both sides here, but nothing that resembles factual evidence. Where is the evidence... excuse me. Where is the evidence that dinosaurs aren't real? If someone is making a claim, the burden of proof is on them. I am completely serious. I joined this group to find out, and I really want to know. I can kind of get down with that. Again, you know, there's plenty of science supporting dinosaurs. How we're going to say they're not real is beyond me. But these people are crazy. I saw a post the other day, and somebody had posted a picture of this adorable child wearing playing with a what was it? It was a woolly mammoth toy. Hold on, I'm pulling it up now. Just give me one second here. All right. So he's playing with this woolly mammoth toy, and it looks like it's one of these, you know, made for a Christ, like one of these shows where the animals are dressed up in like battle armor and things like that. So, this mom puts, what is your opinion on woolly mammoths? Should I take it away? First response. Woolly mammoths are nothing but a gateway to dinosaurs. Sure, it starts small with a mammoth here and a saber-toothed tiger there. But the next thing you know, you're up to your eyes in scaly, unholy abominations. Burn it. That's a quote, folks. I'm reading that verbatim. You know. All right, so apparently this woman, another woman sitting there going, "I weep for your little boy." The last woolly mammoth only went extinct around 4,000 years ago. Your little boy's cute. Maybe you should give him away to a normal family. I like that guy. I like that guy. I don't, you know, I mean, this goes on, and I mean, just the amount of ridiculousness that goes on this page is entertaining. There was another one. There was another picture where I just completely lost it. Crap. Hold on a second. I backed out a little too far. When was the last time I said that? There was another picture, and basically it was comparing Christians to people who believe in dinosaurs. And it was one of these like meme type pictures, and it scrolled down, and they was talking, basically saying that, you know, people who believe in dinosaurs are the equivalent of drug addicts. And I mean, the way these people are talking, the woolly mammoth is apparently a gateway drug to dinosaurs. How fantastic is that? You know, and as a parent, it's hard, man. Your kids love dinosaurs. You know, there was another group talking about how dinosaurs perpetuate violence, and one of their kids, this one woman's kid, was playing with another kid, and the kid pretended to be a dinosaur and bit him. Now, all right. I can see why you would be upset at the fact that this kid bit your kid. Completely on board with that. I get that. But their kid's playing. You know, how do you sit there and let your kid be the butt of the jokes and things like that, you know? That's just beyond me. But hey, what do I know? All right. So, there was some sort of a lot of shenanigans this week that I was reading about, which makes me happy. And I just do want to apologize. As many of you do know, I record in my house. And I record on Saturday nights so you guys could hear it on Mondays. And if you hear some what sounds like industrial work being done, those are the plows going up and down my street as the Staten Island area just got about 2 more inches of snow, which, you know, it is what it is. I'm not mad at this. I'm not mad at the fact that it snows. I'm not upset that it snows. I get it. I live in New York. It happens. But it is quite annoying because I'm the one that has to go out and shovel it, so fuck you, snow. But again, not nearly as bad as the people up in Boston. Or the Stamford, Connecticut area, apparently, where this next story is coming from, where a man was apparently unhappy with his haircut, and he's facing criminal charges after he became enraged and threw items around a Connecticut salon. The man in question here was 47-year-old Alan Becker, was angered when he learned the trim he got Wednesday morning was going to cost him $50. Now, I threw this article up on the Facebook page, so if you're listening to this, go onto the Facebook page and scroll back to put it up. I put it up today on Saturday, actually. And based on the picture, I'm assuming that's his mugshot. And if that was the haircut he had to pay $50 for, I get why he's upset. So the Stamford police sergeant says Becker kicked a hole in the salon wall, became hostile towards staff and customers, threw a candle display and other items, and then left. So Becker returned later and demanded his hair be fixed, but the salon refused. This is where he got arrested, and they haven't been able to reach him for comment. Now, again, first off, paying $50 for a haircut, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, me growing up, my haircuts used to cost me $10, and that's when I actually maintained what people would consider normal hair. Now I just kind of buzz cut it because it's easy. You know, I could do that myself. I have a set of clippers, and 5-10 minutes later, I'm good to go. But $50 for a haircut, that better come with some reach around, maybe a handy at least. I mean, something. That's ridiculous, especially to get a shitty haircut like that. I mean, the hair in this guy's picture, it actually looked like he got the haircut from a blonde woman at the Lemon Tree. I know some of you guys got the Lemon Tree joke. Used to be a chain of haircutting places. I don't want to call them salons because it makes it sound much fancier than it actually was. But, yeah, I mean, $50 for a haircut, dude. What are you thinking? First off, when you walk into a place, you kind of get a sense of what you're going to pay. And I would imagine if you're walking into a... First off, you're walking into a salon. So right there, you're going to take it deep. Secondly, they have a candle display. So right away, they think they're much more pretentious than they are. Well, than they should be anyway. So, you're about to be taken for a ride, my friend. Let's think about this logically for a second. Now, when the bill comes out to $50, and again, based on the haircut he had, he definitely deserves a refund. But, you know, I'm kind of curious as to what he thought he was going to get. You know, I mean, maybe he was just pissed off because he got a shitty haircut and didn't want to pay $50 for it. Yeah, I can get that. If you walked in there and you knew you were going to throw down $50 for a haircut, first off, you're an idiot. Secondly, you know, for $50, I want to expect a damn fine haircut. He didn't get it. So, there you go. You know, that would piss me off too. But, good job, a-hole. So now we're going to head over to New Jersey, Sparta, New Jersey, as a matter of fact, where a New Jersey man allegedly crashed while driving drunk. He's also being accused of making an icy patch on the road in an attempt to make the accident look as if it were caused by dangerous road conditions. Wow. Listen, got to give the guy some credit, give him an E for effort. Be able to think like that when you're intoxicated. Good for you. But his friend also is being accused of drunkenly helping with the plan that could have put other motorists at risk. So police in Sparta, New Jersey arrested Brian Byers, 20, on Saturday, several hours after he allegedly drove through a stop sign and crashed his 2001 BMW into a guardrail. After the accident, police said Byers drove the car, which was registered to a family member, to his house about a mile away, and then he allegedly went back to the accident scene with a friend, Alexander Zambenedetti, and had 2 5-gallon buckets filled with water. They apparently poured the water all over the intersection to create a black ice slick on the road. So a Sparta police officer discovered the accident when he saw Byers walking towards a car that was idling in the middle of the road. And then the officer saw, what was his name? Well, I'm just going to call him Alex because I'm not trying to pronounce his last name again. get into the driver's seat without a shirt, even though the temperature was 1 degree. Now, it was pretty damn cold the other day. Excuse me, I'm having a lot of phlegm issues today. I apologize. So he It's been pretty damn cold up here in New York, New Jersey area. So anybody walking outside without a street is automatically walking outside without a shirt is automatically suspect in anybody's book. So Alex told the officer his shirt got soaked after he fell down. The officer noted the 2 5-gallon buckets in the car and still had some water in them. And then some investigators said the man intended to report the accident. And say it was because of the black ice and not because of Mr. Byers' alleged drinking. Apparently, the ice was so bad that the Department of Public Works had to dump a half ton of salt to make the streets safe. A half ton of salt. Now, I find that to be a little much. That's 10 gallons of water. You're telling me a half a ton of salt is what it takes to m melt 10 gallons of water? I don't really think so. That doesn't quite sound right to me. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a radio host. So, yeah, so I mean, really, what else are you going to say to this? I mean, first off, how do you really think you're going to get away with this? I mean, when you pour water out, a distinct splash pattern is made. So, if I'm a cop and I'm going to use my independent thought processes that I've been blessed with, I'm going to pull up to the scene and say, "Oh, the accident happened right here." And you slid on that. And I'm going to look at it and go, that doesn't look like regular ice that would form in the middle of the street because of snow or inclement weather. I'm definitely going to have some questions. I'm definitely going to have some questions. And then I may or may not proceed to smack the shit out of the guy that's telling me this. You got to come up. I mean, again, give the guy credit for thinking like this when he's drunk. Good for you. But really, think about this for a minute. Think about it for a second. I mean, obviously, he wasn't thinking completely coherently, but good job, a-hole. You're a freaking moron. So now we're going to hop out of New Jersey, head over to Lafayette, Indiana, for another fun little story I think you'll enjoy. Apparently, a tanker spilled about 300 or 400 gallons of raw sewage onto the southbound Interstate 65 exit ramp to Indiana Highway 19, as reported by the Indiana State Police, noting that the waste was 6 to 8 inches deep in places on the ramp. Now, apparently, it's been pretty cold up there in the Lafayette, Indiana area, so the excrement froze, causing a toxic poopsicle. Not my line, folks. Reading that straight out of the USA Today article. So, apparently they've been looking for the driver of this raw sewage disposal vehicle, and they haven't been able to. But, it's funny because they sit there and they're talking about it's likely the driver won't even realize he lost a load until he gets to a wastewater treatment plant. How do you lose 400 gallons of raw sewage and not realize it? It's in one area. Let's be a little realistic here. I mean, basically, what you're trying to do, as far as I can tell, is you're trying to sit there and go, "Oh, it was probably just an accident. Come on back, and we're gonna talk this out." No. 300 to 400 gallons of shit on an interstate exit ramp. In one area. That's not an accident. That's pretty goddamn intentional in my book. But, you guys keep telling yourself that. So, Indiana Department of Transportation and the Department of Environmental Management and the Health Department were all on scene to supervise the mess. This happened apparently early in the morning, and by 5 p.m., crews with a front loader were scraping the excrement off the road and loading it into a dump truck to cart away. But before the front motor could begin its work in earnest, the ramp had to be salted and sanded because the liquid waste had turned to ice. Apparently, the ramp opened a few hours later. Can you imagine that? Right now, well, not right now, but some of these guys had to sit there and explain to their wives while they were going to be late from work. Listen, honey, I'm going to be a little late getting home tonight. I'm sorry, I know you needed me to watch the kids because you had to go out to yoga or whatever. But I have to clean up shit off the highway. I have to clean up shit off the highway. And this never happens to the guy who has the happy marriage and things like that, you know. This always happens to the guy who's in the miserable marriage. Him and his wife are constantly arguing. So you know his wife's sitting there going, oh, you're so full of shit. You're so full of shit. No, no, I have to scrape up shit. No, you're lying to me, you bastard. I fucking hate you. Listen, this is the conversation I heard in my head as it was going on. And apparently they're now trying to remove the excrement off of the street in front of my house. I do apologize if you hear that in the background. But God bless it, man. That's a real shitty job. Real shitty job. And yes, I pun completely and totally intended. But, alright, so here we go. I am going to go take a break and try to get this background noise out of here. You listen to That Awful Podcast on More Like Radio and Rant Entertainment Media. We'll be right back after this.
Every Tuesday night, join AA and the cast of characters for a night of entertaining radio. From the latest news going on in the world of professional wrestling to the life and times of the characters on the show. A full recap of Monday Night Raw and news from the outside wrestling world that will make even the strongest person squeal. And you'll never know what topic AA will bring up next. It's The Rant, and it's live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, all right here on RantEMRadio.com and TuneIn Radio.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Glad you stayed around. Just want to do some quick promotion right here. First off, again, I always give the promos for my shows on More Like Radio. Dutch and Royce, Hippo Juice, The Sully Show. Well, I'm drawing a blank again. See? Again, I gotta remember to write this shit down. God damn it, I hate when I do this. The Cousin Joe Show, Conti and Kenny, Alcohol by Volume, My Time Now, the list goes on. Really great, fantastic lineup on More Like Radio. And now I'm joining the Rant Entertainment Media Group. Give the promos for the shows on there. If you're listening today live on February 23rd, well, it's not today, technically, because I'm recorded. But premiering on Monday, February 23rd, is Freaks and Geeks, and they'll be on every Monday at 11:15. Then you have Tuesday, you have The Rant. Wednesdays, you have Turnbuckle Throwbacks with my boy Will, my boy Phil, I'm Will, at 9 p.m. Thursday, you have the Rexplex podcast show, followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. Fridays, you get the Lex podcast. Saturdays at 11, you get the Wrestling Call-In show. And Sundays at 5, the What Are You Reading comic book podcast show with Surfer and Jordan. All right, and again, every Monday, 7 p.m. on the Rant, you have That Awful Podcast, which you're listening to right now. And again, on Mondays at 4 p.m. on morelikeradio.com. So you can listen to me twice if you want. Then you can download me off both networks, boost my numbers, you know, make me look like a podcasting stud. You know you wanna. I mean, you're really just helping me out. Not like I'm getting paid by the download either. That'd be nice, but still. Check out all the great shows on both networks. You're a wrestling fan, you know. You got the OSW Review on More Like Radio. They do talk about wrestling on a couple of the other shows. And then you want to do old school wrestling, you listen to my boy Phil Raya. He'll take care of you. But now we're going to go into, from wrestling into something much more hot. 2 weeks ago, Kendra Sutherland was accused of masturbating on film in the Oregon State University library. So things have been a little touchy for her, a little touch and go. She's starting to believe it was all worth it, though, as she just got a deal for basically, well, she did a photo shoot for Penthouse, so that's always nice. And I gotta be honest with you, based on the picture, yeah, delightful. And this is not the Penthouse pictures I'm looking at. I would like to go see that though. But she's also going to be starring in her own webcam series on the internet at playwithkendra.com, which is going to be run by the Friend Finder Network, who works in conjunction with Penthouse, apparently. So, God damn, I tell you, looking at these pictures, I'm gonna post it onto the show Facebook page so you guys can go reference it. The first picture you see in the article, which is probably the thumbnail for the whole article, she looks hot. I mean, that's it. She looks hot. She looks cute. Hair's up. She looks very porcelain skinned, And then the second picture in the article was a bunch of cupcakes. Apparently, it was a birthday. Oh, no. This is to announce her playwithkendra.com site, if you can make out the writing on the cupcakes. Wow. She looks hot there. Good damn. And there's another picture a little bit further down where she's in what appears to me be a server room. And she's playing with these wires and good damn. I'm hoping she gives a free preview. I don't pay for porn. Just putting that out there. I'm not saying I don't look at it. Not gonna say I don't look at it. I do. But yeah, I'm just not gonna pay for it if I don't have to. I mean, and honestly, who the hell pays for porn nowadays? Who the hell pays for porn nowadays? Nobody. Nobody. Unless you're really some sort of deviant. But that's just my opinion. So, apparently, she's done stuff like this in the past where she's done some webcam work and, now she's actually going to get compensated for it. Apparently, it's going to be obviously a lot of solo work, but she's gonna be done in public places. But it'll be a little more private in the respect that, she's not gonna be she'll be blocked so nobody can really see what's going on. You imagine that though? I mean, let's think about this for a hot second. She's a career masturbator. She is a career masturbator right now. This is what she's going to do. I mean, and they're anticipating her clearing six figures doing this. I got to get in shape. I got to get in shape and fix myself up a little bit, and I'll jerk off on camera for money. Fuck that. I don't have no pride. Well, that's not true. I do have a little pride, but not enough to stop me from doing that. So here's the challenge to make a career as a full-time masturbator is daunting, she admits. And this is a quote from her. I have to take it more seriously. Before, I used to stop camming once I got paid. Now, if I want to build a following, I have to be on more regularly. You certainly do. I mean, there's obviously, you see it all the time. There's cam girls left and right, and she's got to make herself stand out. So one thing she's going to do is I blow bubbles, she said. And she doesn't mean the family dog. One guy sends me a huge pack of gum so he can watch me blow bubbles on camera. I think it's sexy and cute. So Sutherland has signed a deal with a Canadian company to front a dating website called Date Broke College Girls. Well, things may not be working out for her right away, though, as she's scheduled to be arraigned this coming Thursday, and she could be facing a fine up to $6,250 or a year in jail. Now, apparently, there's a rumor that some of the fraternities on campus are going to be picketing the courthouse on her behalf. I don't think that's going to work because, really, a bunch of college guys picketing a courthouse because a girl masturbated in the library in front of everybody and recorded it. Yeah, no, we know why you're protesting it. You all found it hot. And just for the record, I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying if I'm the judge, that's my thought process. Just putting that out there. Good for her. She's a good egg. I like this chick. So apparently, a Canadian website called Bang You Later has offered to cover the financial penalties handed down by the court. So this girl basically masturbates on camera in college, and now she's getting a pretty easy career. She's transitioning to porn. Good for her. Her parents must be proud. I mean, listen, if it's my daughter, I'm pissed. But it's not my daughter, so hot. All right. Yeah, what else can you say about that? Good for her. She's now gonna be a porn star. Because she couldn't help but get herself off in the library at Oregon State University. What am I doing wrong? God damn it. Speaking of prisons, we're going to head over to Raymondville, Texas. And now this one, we're not going for the funny on this one. This one's a little serious, a bit intriguing. But apparently as many as 2,800 federal prisoners are going to be moved to other institutions after inmates seized control of part of the prison in South Texas, causing damage that made the facility uninhabitable. Ed Ross, a spokesman for the U.S. Bureau of Prisons, said the inmates who had taken control are now compliant, but that negotiations were ongoing Saturday in an effort for staff to regain complete control of the Willacy County Correctional Center. The situation is not resolved, though we're moving forward to a peaceful resolution, says an FBI spokesman. So it doesn't really say what kind of progress has been made. Again, I'm looking at an earlier article. I don't see any updates, but let's see. Apparently, they have pipes, and that's what they're using as weapons. There's a private contractor that operates the center for the U.S. Bureau of Prisons. They said the inmates became disruptive Friday because they were upset with medical services and refused to perform work duties. The Management and Training Corporation spokesman said in a statement that prison officials have begun moving the inmates and that the process would continue into next week. Apparently, the prison administrators met with the inmates Friday to address their concerns, but the prisoners breached their housing units and reached the recreation yard. And they apparently set some fires inside three of the prison's 10 housing units. I've always kind of wondered how this happens. I mean, this is a federal prison. You're basically in lockdown. And how are they allowed to lose? How are the guards able to lose control? I mean, yeah, all right, I get it. There's a lot more prisoners than there are guards. Yes, I know. But, prisoners tend to be kind of loudmouthy and give themselves up pretty easily. So the fact that you didn't know this was going to happen and couldn't prepare for it is a little bit beyond me. But, I mean, you got to see something going on when all of a sudden people start rushing away from the housing units and start going through the yard. I mean, I get it. You as a prison guard, you can't carry a gun in the prison. You're not allowed to, because it'd be taken from you and used against you. So, I get you don't want to really go in that direction. But start smacking bitches. Start smacking bitches. Knock them down. Take control, man. And I know somebody sat there and probably just got pissed off. Oh, how could you say to abuse another human being? Fuck you, they're prisoners. They're prisoners. You kind of give up your human card when you become a perp. But let's see. About 800 to 900 other inmates are not participating in the disturbance. And let's see. They're low-level offenders who are primarily immigrants in the U.S. illegally. All right, that explains a little bit more. Illegal immigrants, those guys are crafty. I mean, how do you think they got here? It's not like they hopped on a plane or, well, it's not like they bought a ticket, hopped on a plane or a boat or something. Especially when we're talking South Texas here, we're talking like these, a lot of these illegal immigrants are probably Mexicans who had to hop a fence or climb under a fence through the to get across the border and things like that, Apparently, the COs are correctional officers. They use non-lethal force, such as tear gas, to attempt to control the unruly offenders. So no inmate breached two perimeter security fences, and there's no danger to the public. So that's always nice, Apparently, they put up some large Kevlar tents that make up the facility. Were described in 2014 report by the American Civil Liberties Union as not only foul, cramped, and depressing, but also overcrowded. The inmates reported that their medical concerns were often ignored by staff and that corners were often cut when it came to health care. You're in a prison. They don't. And it sounds messed up to say, but they really don't care that much. And I can't say that's the case for all prisons because obviously, there are prisons where the medical staff will do the right thing. I have a friend who works up in one of the prisons in upstate New York, and I'm reasonably confident he does the right thing. But at the same time, their attitude is, you're a perp. Life sucks. Get a helmet, But, so the final thing here, apparently, Brian McGivern, a prisoner's rights attorney with the Texas Civil Rights Project, said he was not surprised inadequate medical care could ignite a riot. He said medical care is grossly underfunded in prisons, especially in ones run by private contractors. And the direct quote here is, "It's pretty abysmal with regard to modern standards how people should be treated pretty much anywhere you go." You know what, man? A perp is a perp. It is what it is. I mean, again, they should be treated a little bit better. They should get the medical care that they require. But at the same time, when these people. And I deal with this not just on an immigrant level. I mean, I deal with this on a much higher level on the, I guess we'll call it the pecking order. People want to go seek treatment for the smallest thing. People call an ambulance because I stubbed my toe, I cut my finger. Did you cut your finger off? No. Okay. Is it deep? No. It's a paper cut. Why the fuck did you call me? And I'm sure it's the same way in facilities. People come in there for petty things, and it gets frustrating to the point where you're like, you're walking in now, you're like, all right, what do you want? It's the third time this week. It's only Tuesday. Stop. But I mean, that's, and this is the unfortunate part with the times we live in. Everybody has to be politically correct. You have to make sure you do everything you can to help that individual. So, as I said before, I'm recording on a Saturday night. Tomorrow is Sunday. Tomorrow is the Daytona 500. I'm going to do the same thing I do every year in between Super Bowl and the start of the baseball season. I'm going to try to get interested in NASCAR racing. It's going to work for about, usually about 2 to 3 weeks. And then I'm just going to be like, fuck it. Speaking of baseball season started this week, pitchers and catchers officially reported. And speaking as a Mets fan, my season has already ended. But no, I'm kidding. I mean, the Mets actually, again, the last few years we've said this and been disappointed, but we actually look pretty good right now. But let's see how we come out of spring training, because that's going to be the litmus test. And I hope the Yankees stadium implodes with them in it. So, and again, I don't, I, let me, not again, because you guys haven't heard this, but I don't hate Yankees. I don't hate the Yankees. I respect the Yankees as a team. They've done a lot. They've won a lot. They've done some amazing things. They've had some amazing players on their team. I just hate most Yankees fans. Now, if you're a Yankees fan and you suffered through the lean times, like, you know, most of the 70s, good part of the 80s, you know, and you stuck through them, stuck with them through the tough times, then you got my respect and you got my undying respect. We'll just leave it at that. If you were a Yankee fan that jumped on the bandwagon back in the early 90s, like 94, 95, and all you know is Yankees winning championships from that time on, then you can kill yourself, because you can't talk sport. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, you don't, you know of Don Mattingly, but you only know of Don Mattingly as a coach. You know, you didn't watch Don Mattingly play. You don't know anything about how he played. You know, you barely know who Reggie Jackson is. You know, you didn't know that there was a Mr. October. You know that there's a Mr. November. Stop. Those are the people that I can't stand. Those are the people I hate to talk to. So, but again, we shall see. As we're talking a little sports here, and I did mention the Daytona 500, which by the time you hear this will have been run already, and it will be run without Kurt Busch. Apparently, Kurt Busch got into some trouble earlier this week in Delaware. As a judge sentenced him. Well, didn't really sentence him, but he basically came out and said that, you know, he indicted him on charges of how he beat his former girlfriend at Dover International Speedway, and then he was suspended immediately by NASCAR and Chevrolet, which is a sponsor of theirs, suspended its relationship with them following the suspension. So he did try to appeal it, and you know, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, and you're always gonna try to appeal something like this just to get your name cleared and things like that. But he tried to appeal it; it didn't work. NASCAR upheld its suspension, and he's basically, there's no way he's going to be running in this year's Daytona 500 unless he somehow gets a an appeal to the Gulfstream president, Byron Moss. That's the NASCAR's final appeals officer. If he does ask for it, it's going to happen Saturday night, probably happening as I'm recording. And the team that he races for, Stewart Haas, has already planned to replace him with Regan Smith in his car. They're probably going to move forward with that either way. But yeah, I mean, this goes, I've spoken about this in the past on other shows. These athletes, and I don't know if you really can call NASCAR drivers athletes. There's always going to be a debate for it. I'm not going to start that debate now, but it is what it is. And why you guys, why they think they're going to get away with stuff like this is beyond me. First things first, you have to be more on edge than anybody else when you have to think more clearly when you're in a situation like that. Because number one, even if you didn't do it, okay, all it's going to take is a woman to say that you did do it. And right away, I don't want to say they believe the woman right away, but the woman's going to get all the sympathy and you're going to kind of get a raw deal if you didn't legitimately do it. Most of the time, you did it. Okay? But you're in a spotlight, you're somewhat of a celebrity, especially in NASCAR, and there are parts of this country where NASCAR is absolutely huge, not so much here in the New York City area, although I do know some people that are a little too into it for my taste. But just because of who you are and the status you hold, a woman's not going to let you get away with that. A woman's not going to let you get away with that if you have a similar status to mine, and I don't have a status. So stop with your bullshit. You're not going to get away with it. Just stop. Think about it, man. Grabbing a woman by the throat, smashing her face into the wall. Poor, poor decision making. So, let's see. Okay, here we go. Another blow to the racing team. Apparently, Regan Smith got flipped over in the Xfinity race at Daytona on Saturday, and Kyle Busch was injured in another big wreck. Not Kurt Busch, he's not racing. Kyle Busch. There you go. Any relation? I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. You'd have to look that one up for me. Let me know. I appreciate it. But the guy who's replacing Kurt Busch flipped over his car. Now, for those of you not familiar with NASCAR, there's usually at least two races run, and the Sprint Cup is the bigger race. It's held on Saturday. That's like the major league, Sundays, excuse me. That's like the major league of racing. And their AAA affiliate would be the Xfinity Series, which is generally run on Saturday. You will have drivers that run in both. So on lap of 113 of the Xfinity Series at Daytona, Kyle Busch spun while pushing Erik Jones, and then Busch's car barreled through the infield and crashed into an infield wall where there were no safer barriers in place. Now, if you're wondering what the safer barriers are, they're kind of a softer wall to hit. Usually, like the barrels and things like that that you see. Apparently, Kyle Busch was trying to get out of the car as safety crews rushed to the scene. And as he tried to exit, he got his right leg caught on something and caused his injury. They believe his injury to be a broken leg at this point. He left with his leg wrapped in a splint, went to a nearby hospital by ambulance, and then Joe Gibbs, who was the team owner, went over to take a took his took Kyle Busch's wife with him to go make sure he was okay. And then, of course, what's the first thing everybody does after something like this? Jump on the Twitter. So apparently, there's a lot of aggravation being expressed about the fact that there's no safer walls. This first quote comes here from Jimmy Johnson saying, "Man, I hope Kyle Busch is all right. It's beyond me why we don't have soft walls everywhere. These drivers deserve safer barriers everywhere. It's very expensive, but we have to find a way," according to Jeff Burton. Regan Smith, "I'm genuinely furious right now. Any wall in any of the top three series without safer barriers is inexcusable. It's 2015." And it goes on with a little more like that. Oh, here's the last one. We'll do Casey Kane. All we do is wreck at Daytona, and the massive wall has no safer barrier. Unbelievable. So, Daytona is apparently a hotbed for accidents. I do remember one of the first NASCAR races I watched was the Daytona 500, where Dale Earnhardt died because he went into the wall. That's Dale Earnhardt Sr. And I guess it was a week or two after that, all the Hans devices were installed in the car. So I think we're going back maybe 10 years as the first race I really saw that I watched any kind of length. So holy crap, I'm looking at the time. I'm running out of time here. I better gotta move this up. So it doesn't look like he's gonna be racing in the Daytona 500, but half of you probably don't care. So, oh well, told you anyway. All right, so with that being said, start wrapping this bad boy up. Check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/thatawfulpodcast. Email the show, thatawfulpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm really not that active on it, but if you want to, it's That Awful Podcast. No you and awful. That AWFL Podcast. And that's pretty much it. You can check out my YouTube channel, which is basically just the video version of the show you just listened to, where I put up pretty pictures behind you so you don't behind the audio so you don't get too bored. Again, morelikeradio.com. Check out all the shows there. Go to morelikeradio.org for the downloads page. And rantentertainmentmedia.com. Excuse me, rantemradio.com. Rant Entertainment Media. Glad to be here on Rant. It's really cool. I look forward to it. I look forward to success with Rant and More Like Radio simultaneously. So, with all that being said, thank you very much for listening. Hope everybody listening for the first time enjoyed it. And I'll see you in 7 days.